really going to happen. And the dead in Christ and Messiah are going to raise. Just this day alone, Shabbat, as one part of the covenant-keeping people, who we are, Israel, since being grafted into our Messiah, Yeshua. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We had a very good, safe trip. All praise the Almighty Yah, bringing us there and being able to perform and do in person and live of who we're supposed to be in Him. Not just preaching a word or saying a story. We was able to live out in testimony, in the life that we live, in being love and kind and friends, family, showing forth the love of Messiah and being around a diverse people. We're always around a diverse people. Messiah was always around a diverse people. And our pastor did a very good job listening and knowing how to say, what to say, when to say it in front of a bunch of diverse people for Anya's baptism. And that baptism, it just brings me back to who we are. We are people of Israel. And I was thinking about His love towards us and our love towards Him is keeping the covenant and learning the covenant. And I was in Devarim this morning, chapter 4. And He mentions in there, now that we've crossed over, we're crossing over in a covenant. We're loving what He loves and we're hating what He hates. And we learn that we're going to learn that this is His wisdom and this is His understanding. This is your wisdom and this is your understanding to continue in a land which you're going to go to possess. And so all over the world we hear the term when you get baptized, you get born again and you're saved, then you're always saved. But there's always something in there that always says, he that endures to the end. Endures what? What do you have to endure? And so we learn there's some things that you have to learn and that you have to endure because you're not going to be allowed to cross over into that land if you're not covenanted with Yehovah through his Son, our Master, Yeshua, Messiah. There's a covenant that we have to keep to get there. There's some rules and things, that commands that we have to obey in order to get there. And Shabbat's one of them. That's one that we're supposed to forever keep, and He's going to have it there in the kingdom. And the crossover, you know, there's many times I learned through the past week and learned through Elijah that many of us have come from up that roller coaster ride. We get to that low, and sometimes we can't see past our hand in front of our face or whatever it is that's trying to distract us and pull us down, our minds being tired and weak. But He always pulls us back up. But if you stop there, you're not going to be able to finish your destiny. And finish your destiny will be more for when you cross over. There is going to be a place where you cross over because there's a time that we're going to die. And there's going to come to an end. But if we've finished and stayed in the covenant, there's a continuation. There's eternal life. There's a continuation. But for those who stop and say, oh, I'm saved, but you don't do anything. You don't do anything to prove to be in that kingdom. There's no continuation. That's what He talks about when He says, in the land that you cross over to possess, that you're going to possess something. You're going to be in His kingdom, still learning for 1,000 years, all the way till the Father really truly comes on the eighth day, Azaret, Shemini Azaret. And back then, they were going through surroundings and distractions as Israel. And we're going through all these surroundings and distractions, things that try and pull us away from who we are and what we believe and our adversary. All these things try and come against us. But He left us this record because He knew we'd forget, like we just read about Pharaoh. He didn't know. He didn't have any idea who this Yosef was. Over time, things are forgotten. People forget, and He knew we forget. That's why He said over and over and over, don't forget. Remember, 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 don't forget. Even when we get to, in chapter 4 of Devarim, verse 32, He says, ask. Ask of the days that were before you. Ask Him, and He will make it known, like I'm reading it in the ears of the people, like our Master did. There was a time our Master was stood up on the Shabbat, and He opened up the scroll, And he read before the people, in the hearing of the ears of the people, Isaiah. And it's in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He says, "The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away crushed ones with the release." And he's reading this from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. And tonight I want to open up in Devarim, and I want to speak in the hearing of the ears of the people of Devarim chapter 4, what he's reminding us in the record. Don't forget. Don't forget. This is Shabbat. This is what you're forever to keep. This is in the covenant. And this is some important things. You need this wisdom that I have. You need this understanding that I have. You need to learn this wisdom. Wisdom is just the basics. Sound wisdom is once you've applied it and put it together. It's not just being a hearer of it. You're going to hear the wisdom. We're going to learn the wisdom through the text and the history and the Hebrew and the learning through our Messiah. But there's a time that will be just like a Messiah, when there was a time where he was asking the disciples, "Hey, what do you think about this? We've got all these people. How are we going to feed all these people?" And they had their scenario. He says, "What we're going to do? We're going to take this boy's meal." And those miracles happen. This is wisdom in action. This is sound wisdom. It's in action. It's happening. And we're going to learn some of these Hebrew words later on. But you learn it through, you know, I'm not giving you what I learned in 2 or 3 hours this morning. I'm giving you over the past couple of weeks of things I picked up on and learned. Just a little piece of the puzzle here. Why am I reading this? Why am I learning this? Another little piece of the puzzle there. And then all of a sudden you go through something. And then if Father gives you something to pass on a Shabbat morning, like, that fits. That's what I was asking for. That's what I needed. I went through this low, just like he said. And there's somebody in the scripture that you can relate to, that what you're going through, he went through or she went through. And that's how they made it through. And that's how our Messiah made it through. And that's how we learn from our Master, to go back to the beginning and learn how they made it through. In the beginning, Bereshit and Shemot, remember the names. And the highs and the lows, and learning that just in Shemot alone, to remember all these names, but yet they all died. You go through the low. Ah. And then to find out that the whole Bible is written this way. You're going to go through highs, and you're going to go through lows. Did our Master go through some lows? Or did he go through some lows? He went through some difficult lows. The Garden of Gethsemane was a very low low. It was a time of low. But there was also a time of high when he got raised from the dead. There's a low and there's a high. And the Father worked him through those all the way to that time. It's not like he just skipped and jumped because he was the Messiah. He learned by what he heard and read from the Father. And he applied it. Wisdom. Basics. Sound wisdom. Sound wisdom wasn't applied. I wrote myself a little statement. There are people all over the world, millions, who don't know Yada, who have forgotten, and were taught something different. We were all taught something different, and it got lost in time. But just because it got lost in time for us doesn't mean it's still not there. It's been sitting there the whole time. But there was a time that the Father would bring it back to our attention and bring it back to our remembrance and wake us up. And on his timing, he did that. There's people that are broken and have no wisdom or understanding. Not just hearing, but able to see someone like Yeshua actually living it out in front of them. What the Torah looks like lived is more than just reading it from a page. Us living it in front of people. Not telling somebody, "Hey, you know, the scriptures say this, you need to do this or do that." Our Master didn't do that. Our Master lived it out in front. And as he was living it out, there were certain ones that come and ask questions. Even those of the Jews. Come and ask a question. Luke chapter 4, verse 19. To proclaim the acceptable year of Yehovah. Verse 20. And having rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the congregation were fixed upon him. I can't tell you how many times I've watched pastor go in front of a big congregation, and I'm wondering what the Father's got for him to say, what he studied, what he's learned, what he's listening to. I want to learn from my teacher. And he gets up there and he says it with humility. Not taking over, but he does it in humility. Like as if, hey, it's an honor that I was asked to come. He didn't step in and say, "Here I am." I'm so-and-so. But the Father worked it all out to where it was through humility and through a bunch of people. There was a diverse bunch of people there, including myself. And I got to learn from it. It was incredible. It was so incredible. And it captured the eyes of many. They were like, wow, is the Torah being lived out in love? And it's not being pushed and it's not being shoved. It's at the proper place, at the proper time, all these years working our way all the way to that one very special day to a girl that my daughter met that through all of those times that has a baptism there, and all of a sudden there's something important there to just the life of one little girl the Father uses. And if you was ready, He was ready to use you. But if you wasn't, you missed out on a whole lot. So you always got to be ready at all times. It's not just about you and your vacation and what you like and what you dislike. There's something important for the bigger picture. And He began to say to them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all were bearing witness to Him and marveled at the pleasant words that came out of His mouth. Stuff that they probably had never heard in years. Things that they had to hear from Elijah when Elijah was there. And he said, hey, get the altar. Lay it out. 12 stones represent the 12 tribes. And all of a sudden, they're stuck behind the Baals and all that's going on in Israel. All because of the rebellion that went on through the years. And now they're stuck in this time. And here comes Elijah, and he sets up the 12 stones. And kind of brings it back to their remembrance. And he puts it all out there. He puts the bull and cuts it up, and the blood's coming out. And he saturates it several times. And they're all just sitting there watching. And all the wrong, their hearts are being broken. At the same time, they got all these Baals, and they got Ahab, and all this that's against them. And he's standing there. He's not compromising. Elijah's not compromising. He's standing there. And then he calls on, yeah, here I am. Here it is. It's do or die. And it comes down, and it consumes. The fire comes down. And you can just think about you being on the wrong side. You're like, that should have been for me. I should have been the bull. I should have been consumed by the fire because of my sin, stuck in my wrong, boom, worshiping the Baals, boom, it's over. But that just happened to free you and get you a brand new start. And the people crossed back, got back up, and he said, now, take all them and slaughter all the prophets of Baal. And they all slaughtered them and got rid of them right in front. And now they're getting freed. All those things happen. Miracle, and then we think about our Messiah, Yeshua, how it parallels with Elijah. All the miracles that happened leading up before he even went on the cross. The little girl, all the different ones that had died, and he showed up and raised them up from the dead. And Elijah, when you read about Elijah, the woman helps him with her last meal, and then have a meal that just continues. It doesn't run out. It keeps going and going, and all of a sudden one day her son dies. He said, that's what you brought me here for my son to die? And Elijah's like, okay, I was following him when I got here, so here I am. And he comes before Jehovah. He said, hey, did you lead me here to just have this boy die? And he said, this is what you do. You were supposed to do this 7 times, and he did. Here's your boy. And she says, now I know that the words that you speak are true. They are true words. It took a little timing. But if you rewind this back when he was way back here at a certain time, those stories would have never happened if he had not followed through what Jehovah was telling him and listening to the call, listening to the voice. So all these little pieces that I'm sharing with you is things that I learned along the way, reading and keeping it, reading it and keeping it, and then going through the downtime and not understanding, and all of a sudden I had to make a decision, which I'll share in a little bit. Miracle after miracle he lived out. The boy's meal. Baskets left over. Many stories and witnesses in the renewed writings of people who died and he was used by the Father to raise them back. Bereshit to this Devarim and the kings, the prophets, and the rest is where he read from and he learned and he applied and he lived it out. We read about the miracles and the ups and downs of Elijah. And we have to learn from it just like he had to learn from it. What our Messiah learned from, this is how we learn to walk out our destiny. There was an Elijah, we're not Elijah. There's a Messiah, we're not the Messiah. There's a Josh, there's a Nicole, there's Brother Rob, every one of us here has a destiny to walk out. Even pastors talking about his book he's going to write out. He's got a book to write. The books don't end just because they're in the Bible. The books are continuing for a long time, past Shaul, past Kepha. Your book, your book, your book. Everybody's a book. But if you let the enemy win, there's no book to be finished. The enemy tries, but he gives us another. He gives us, what's that word for it? He gives us grace. He gives us grace again, grace. And Yeshua was definitely on the roller coaster ride as well. There's nothing that we won't go through that he hasn't been through. Nothing. There's nothing. Amen. You just have to come to the realization. But we have to do what the record says and be reminded always and keep the covenant given to Israel that we've been grafted into. So Devarim chapter 4, all that to be said, to bring us to Devarim chapter 4, start with verse 1. We're part of Israel now, being grafted in. And now, O Israel, listen to the laws and the right rulings which I am teaching you to do, so that you live, and shall go in and possess the land which Yehovah Elohim, your father, is giving to you. Do not add to this word which I command you, and do not take away from it, so as to guard the commands of Yehovah your Elohim, which I am commanding you. Your eyes have seen what Yehovah did at Baal Peor. And so we read that. When we get to the story of Elijah, you see time and time again what Yehovah does to the Baals, to the prophet, what he does to all the Baals, king after king, and where we are today in this time frame, and all the nations, how it looks like there's no way out. There's no escaping. Just like they were under Pharaoh, it looked like there was no escaping, no way out. But he's got a plan. We can't change things because we want to, because it's not going right for us. It's not going to change till the Messiah returns. But until then, just do what he's telling you to do. Just like he told Elijah when he was up on the mountain. He said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Just do what I'm telling you. What are you doing here? You just got to do what I'm telling you. You got a life to finish out. They got a lot of people that you're involved with that you got to finish. Wake up, let's go. And so we might get to that after a while. Your eyes have seen what Yehovah did at Baal Peor, for Yehovah Elohim has destroyed from your midst all the men who followed Baal Peor. And I'm sure this was clinging into the mind of Elijah when he was thinking about what he was thinking, what he was going through, what he was led to do. But you who are clinging to Yehovah Elohim are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you laws and right rulings, as Yehovah my Elohim commanded me to do, thus in the land which you go to possess. And you got to remember in Devarim, this is Moshe. He's speaking. He's living out his name right now. He's been drawn from the waters. And he's drawn the people out of the waters. He lived up to his name when you read it. I read all of that. I was in all of that this week. And you shall guard and do them, for this is your wisdom. Your what? Your wisdom, and this is your understanding before the eyes of the peoples. We hear all these laws, and they shall say, only a wise and understanding people is this great nation. It's going to come to our point of those who are the remnant, who are going to keep it, and the eyes of the people are going to be looking, and they're going to say these things. Only a wise and understanding people is this great nation. For what great nation is there which has Elohim so near to it as Yehovah Elohim is to us whenever we call on him? And what great nation is there that has such laws and righteous right rulings like all this Torah, which I set before you today, this day? Only guard yourself and guard your life diligently, lest you forget the words, lest you forget, so we hear Shabbat to Shabbat, lest you forget the words your eyes have seen. You're going to look at them with your eyes. Keep them as frontless between your eyes. You got to keep your eyes protected, frontless between your eyes. On a weekly basis, on a daily basis, when you rise up, when you lie down, lest they turn aside from your heart all the days of your life, and you shall make them known to your children and your grandchildren. The day when you stood before Yehovah, your Elohim, in Horeb, as Mount Sinai, Yehovah said to me, assemble the people to me, and I make them hear my words, so that they learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and teach them to their children. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the heart of the heavens. Darkness, cloud, thick darkness. And Yehovah spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard a voice of words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice, a coal. And you made known to, and he made known to you his covenant, which he commanded you to do. The 10 words, and he wrote them on tablets of stone. And Jehovah commanded me at the time to teach you the laws and right rulings, for you to do them in the land when you're passing over to possess. Therefore, diligently guard yourselves, for you saw no form when Jehovah spoke to you in Horeb, Mount Sinai, the midst of the fire. Lest you should do corruptly and shall make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of any male or female. And he's going to go through all these things that can capture our attention and get our focus off of him. Things that could pull us away that we're more interested in than him. Things that will pull us away from him to get us interested in other things. It could be male. It could be female. It could be beast. It could be the sun. It could be the moon. It could be the stars. It could be fish. It could be the land. It could be houses. It could be cars. It could be many, many, many things that can get our attention off of him. The likeness of any creature that creeps the ground. Lest you lift up your eyes to the heavens and shall see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the hosts of heaven. And be drawn, it could be different days. Be drawn to different days. His Shabbats to another Shabbat, which he didn't make. Other things that he didn't say. Other things that he didn't proclaim. Other things that man comes up with. Traditions and religions of men. Other things that can get our attention. So much so that we could believe it so much that he said these things and he never said that at all. This is the record. This is the covenant. And it still stands today. And it's still here before our eyes. And he brought it before the eyes. Yeshua brought it before the eyes and the hearing of the people. But Yehovah has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Mishreim. We're going to learn that again. We've learned it before. We're going to learn it again. And we're going to pick up on things we've never read and seen before. I was reading this week, and I'd never seen it before, that as the basket that Moshe was in was going off, his sister's watching. I'm like, oh, his sister. I never read about a sister being there. His sister there. And she's attentive to everything that's going on. And she's even there with Pharaoh's daughter and takes care of a lot of things. Miriam takes care of a lot of things when he's being put in the basket and put away. She experienced a lot of things. She learned a lot of things. And she saw a lot of things. And watching all this happen before eyes from a little baby growing up and being put in a basket when he should have been rid of. Watching about her brother. Just little things you pick up on that I've never seen before. I'm just realizing, oh, sister, I've read through it many times. I never saw that. I never saw that before. There's many other things I came across that I've never seen before. I think it's Reuel, the name of Yitro. I'm like, why did he name this? I know it's Yitro. And over here is Reuel. I'm like, why did he say that? And so I started digging into those things. It's things you never saw before or you never caught your attention before. And we're probably going to go through all of this a couple years. And in years down the line, we're going to read it again and go, oh, what's this? I've never seen this before. Yah is just that big. And remember, Yah is not a man. He's not like us. Sometimes we try and pull him down on what we're thinking, and he's not like that. He's way past and way bigger than all those things we could ever imagine. But sometimes we get ourselves in a little rut, and we start thinking like he's thinking like we're thinking, but he's done saw way past that. He's done set everything in motion already. He's a spirit. He's not a man. He's not a human being. He's a spirit. And so we just got to learn to be patient and listen to him. But Yehovah has taken you and brought you out of iron furnace, out of Mishreim, to be his people, inheritance, as it is today. And Yehovah was enraged with me because of your words and swore that I would not pass over the Arden and that I would not enter the good land which Yehovah Elohim has given you as an inheritance. For I am to die in this land, I'm not passing over the Arden, but you're passing over and shall possess that good land. Guard yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of Yehovah Elohim, which he made with you, and shall make for yourselves a carved image in any form, as Yehovah Elohim has commanded you. For Yehovah Elohim is a consuming fire and a jealous El. When you bring forth children and grandchildren, and grow old in the land, and shall do corruptly, and make a carved image in the form of whatever, and shall do what is evil in the eyes of Yehovah Elohim to provoke him, I shall call the heavens and the earth to witness against you on that day, that you soon completely perish from the land which you pass over the Arden to possess. You do not prolong your days in it, but are completely destroyed. There's a penalty. There's a penalty for quitting. There's a penalty for giving up. There's a penalty for serving other things when he said not to. And especially for those of us who know better. There's a cause and effect that could happen. There's some cause and effect that happened to Moshe that he wasn't able to continue on. And Yah said, you're not going to cross over. It was a done deal. There was no changing it. It was a done deal. So there's consequences sometimes for the things that we say, some things that we do, some things that we act upon. He's given us grace upon grace upon grace so many times. You know, I think about decisions that Elijah, he had come to that spot and stopped. And he had to listen. And he was given that meal. And he continued on. But then there's Jonah. Jonah came to that spot. He didn't stop. Sometimes you got to stop. Sometimes your mind is drained. You feel like you run out of juice. You don't feel like you continue on. And all the things that Elijah experienced, he's come to that spot where he's just drained. And one word from Jezebel got him to a spot where he just wished he would die. But he had to come to a stop. And he had to hear the call. He had to hear the voice to continue on. Jonah, on the other hand, he didn't stop and pause. He continued on his own. He said, I'm not doing this. I don't like them people. I could care less about them people. I'm going this way. Well, you can find yourself in the belly of a fish if you want to. That's what he did. He ended up in the belly of a fish. And while he was in the belly of a fish with his head all wrapped and all the seagrass and everything, and he should have been dead, but Yah Almighty Yah kept him alive just to think for a little bit, are you sure that's where you want to be? You want to end the rest of your destiny here? And he says, oh, if I could just live. And he allowed him to be spit out of the belly of the fish. And he continued on with the fish guy that the people served, mind you. All these things that he had to bring to the forefront. Things that would get their attention. And he went there, and it wasn't just about Jonah. It was about the bigger picture. And he had to come to that. And he still faced some grouching and complaining in his life. But it just goes to show you, there's a crossroad you can come to. And you can say, I'm throwing the towel in, I quit. Or you can just pause and wait for a minute and wait for that call. You got to wait and you got to listen. Your mind's going to get drained. Your thought pattern's going to get drained. You're going to go through difficulty. But the spirit, lined up with the spirit, his spirit has never changed. It's still the same. It's never moved. And it's the same way. You can't lose that. You got to stay connected and just wait and be patient. And he'll help you with that. And Yehovah shall scatter you among the peoples, and you shall be left few among the nations where Yehovah drives you. And there you shall serve mighty ones, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you shall seek Yehovah Elohim, and shall find when you search for him with all your heart and with all your being. In your distress, when all these words shall come upon you in the latter days, then you shall return to Yehovah Elohim and shall obey his voice. He knows. He knows all these things. And he's telling them. And there's many a times, even like Kepha, you know I wouldn't do that. You know, he knew he would. But sometimes we get to that spot. You know, sometimes worship music, I think about worship music in my life, thinking back. Many a times, it's almost like you're just clapping and rooting the football team on, yeah, but you know, how many know just a worship song is not going to help you in a time of help? You're going to need that word. You're going to need to know what to hear, what to say. You have to take all those words of wisdom that you learn and learn how to apply it when your enemy comes against you, adversity. The song's good and it can pump you up, but the song's not going to help you in that time. It may help a little bit, but it's not the answer to the problem for you to grow in. You got to really take the wisdom that Yehovah is taking you through all these trials when it was good, while you had an opportunity. And then when the rock bottoms out, you're going to have to do like Elijah. You're going to have to hear the voice. You're going to have to pause and wait. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before you since the day that Elohim created man on the earth. And ask from one end of the heavens to the other end of the heavens whether there has been a word as great as this, or has been heard that has been heard like it. Has a people heard the voice of Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire as you have and heard and live? Or has Elohim tried to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of a nation by trials and by signs and by wonders and by battle and by a strong hand and outstretched arm, by great fearsome deeds, according to all that Yehovah Elohim did for you in mystery and before your eyes? You have been shown it to know that Yehovah himself is Elohim. There is no one beside him. From the heavens, he let you hear his voice to instruct you. And on earth, he showed you his great fire. And you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, Abraham, he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought you out of Mishraim with his presence, with his great power. The same people that came from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the way, who got saved in a flood through Noah's lineage, all the way to us today, is given to us from a covenant that he made with Abraham, all the way to us today. That's his love towards us, all the way to today. Today. This long, long later, years and years later, he saw and knew before we got in his church. To drive out from before you nations greater and stronger than you, to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance as it is today. And you shall know today and shall recall to your heart that Jehovah himself is Elohim in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. There is no one else, none else. And you shall guard his laws and his commands, which I command you today, so that is well with you and with your children after you, and so that you prolong your days on the soil, which Jehovah Elohim has given you for all time. And if we continue to do these things and learn and grow and continue to listen to his voice, when we come to those spots, our destiny will be finished. And then we'll cross over into the land that he promised us to possess. When we die, we'll continue on to eternal life with him. Now we're going to start a little bit, just going back a little bit and review, and going into a little incident that I went through last week that led me up to and how good the Father is and how he knows and he'll let you know and he'll give a confirmation through his messengers and through whoever it is what they're going through to learn that what they're saying, even though they didn't even know what was going on in your life, that what you said was the words that he had for that individual at a time when they needed it. I'm telling you, when Pastor Josh got up there, he probably didn't know it, but there was probably people there that needed to hear what he had to say, what he went through, what he was going through, where he is today. The very words that he spoke, and then he brought up the recording of what was spoken over Pastor Josh and Pastor Nicole back then that I needed to hear. And I'm sitting here weeping, listen, I look over my shoulder and Pastor's weeping. Can you imagine there was a time that the Father gave him dreams and talked about one with blue attire on and things that was going to happen in a dream. And he's got to believe this without seeing it come to fruition. Probably feel like, okay, they're probably going to think I'm crazy, I'm having these dreams, but he told me this is going to happen. And then all of a sudden, those things really happen. And he's sitting there watching it all came into fruition. And he's there over there in Amish land giving the message. And he's just weeping. And Pastor just weeping. Can you imagine his? And it all happened. And how it strengthens his faith even more to continue on. Going into Goshen, where we're going after. All these things helps strengthen you and empower you. What you listened to was real. What he said was true. And it really come to pass. As it did for yourself. Exodus chapter 1 verse 1. I'll just proofread verses 1 through 6. And this was last Shabbat before we went to Indiana. And these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Mishraim with Jacob, each one with his household. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Levi, and Yehuda, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 beings, as yourself was already in Mishraim. And yourself died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. Now, I had just went through a roller coaster ride, even though I didn't know that Shabbat morning, he was going to refer to a roller coaster ride. He refers to this, they're up on a high, and ting, 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 and everybody dies, it comes down, ah. So if you listen to that message, you heard or you was here, he talks about the roller coaster ride. You're going to have the highs, and you're going to have the lows. Our Messiah, Yeshua, and all of us today, we go through highs, and you're going to go through lows. Every one of us is going to go through the lows. And this just goes to show that Jehovah sees and knows before and after everything was going on in anyone's life at any time, and it's a confirmation to the one who gave the word. So I'm going to go back a little bit in my mind and my thoughts that I can remember. I think it was on a Friday night, I gave the word on Job. I taught the word. I went back on Job, and the whole message was Job living up to his name with the olive and the bait. A strengthened house. He lived up to his name. He lived up to being, he lost everything he had, and with his name connected to Yehovah, he learned to be strengthened in his house through everything he got stripped from, everything he went through, knowing Yehovah all he was, and that was the whole of the whole message of everything he got towards the end and being faithful, and then he had to learn some things. And he had to fix those things, and the prophet came and all those things. So when I was going through that, I was at my thing. I was at my high. And I was going through the high. And how many know, many times I've said it before, you give a message, and I don't know how it happens or where it comes from, but I assure you, you go through the same thing that week or maybe weeks ahead that you just got finished speaking on. And even when I was about to give that message, I was like, because I was like, man, I really don't want to go. I don't know how it's going to go. And so nothing happened extravagant, nothing crazy. It was like, wow, we're getting ready to go to Indiana. Everything's looking good. And I got a lot of things to prep and prepare for. And coming back to that Shabbat service, Pastor shared that. And then he also shared about Elijah had just come to his, he was out. He was down and out. He was empty. And he was against the juniper tree. Just because of a word through Jezebel. Just one word. And he had no idea what I went through a couple of days prior to that. And so leading up to this, let me see. I could just tell you that I was on the boat, and I can't remember what morning it was, but I was tired, and I was thinking about all the things that I had to get done. I had that last day to fish that morning. I had to fish that morning, and the next day I would bring my boat to Duvik's to get my valves adjusted. And that had to be timed right to get back home. My wife's starting to pack. I had so many different things that I had to adjust and make. And at the same time, I'm keeping myself, and everything's leading up to this spot. I'm getting all my boat ready. And then I had a conversation with somebody that morning. And so my expectations on my teaching of Job was the whole of the whole matter was this. But I get told, you said something wrong in there. You gave this wrong. You got to go back and fix that. I'm just telling you, you got to fix this. I'm like, okay, well, didn't you hear the whole of the? No, you. This is. And so I'm sitting here looking at the ice bin. The ice is melting. I mean, I was at the ice bin, and the lock was on. The combination was lock was on it, and I couldn't see the numbers to get in there. It was locked. And so I needed my phone to put the light on so I could see the combination to open it. So I'm steady talking on my phone, like, hey, that's I, and telling me all about, hey, this is what it really says. You shouldn't have said this. This is what you really need to say. And all this is in my mind. I'm like, listen, I gotta let you go. I can't see the combination. So I said I gotta let you go. And I hung up the phone, and I unlocked the lock. And I started putting the ice in the boat, and from that point on, it's like a billboard. You said this wrong. You did this wrong. This is what you did. You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, I'm trying to shake it, but it's just all in my face, and I'm getting my boat ready. I got these people. They come in right at that time when I'm thinking about all these things. They come in, and they're about ready to step on the boat. Hey, Chad. Hey, how y'all doing? I'm presenting myself before them like I'm supposed to. But on the inside, I got something going on. And I know that I can't show this to these people. I have to live my life still in front of these people, still who I'm supposed to be. So I'm going through all this. I get everybody in the boat. We're getting all the bait ready. And when we get on the roll, I'm praying my prayer, but at the same time, I'm thinking, why was this set? Why? Why? What? I can't believe. And then my mind's rolling. I can't even see the water in front of me. I'm running. I'm looking at my GPS. I'm just running. And this is just on my mind the whole time. And I can't shake it. I'm trying to pray it away. I'm trying to say, oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. And no matter what I say, no matter what I do, it's like a billboard right in front of me. I can't get it out of my head. And like, you know, I don't even want to speak anymore. People's going to be checking out my message like this. I don't want to speak anymore. So I got this going through my mind. So I just had to keep it straight all the way to the spot. We fished the red snapper. I fished with the people, and yay, hooray to everybody on. We've been there fishing before, and we had a great time, and I can't even think where to go red fishing next. And they're like, we're going to get some red fish next? I'm like, yeah, we're going. You know, and I didn't even know where to go. So I said, Father, you got to help me. I don't know where I'm at right now. I need help. So the Father, he leads me to a place that I hadn't been in a long time. So I went around this corner, and I just come to this little island, and I'm sitting down. And they're all throwing their poles, and I'm in deep thought, and I messaged that person. I got a message back, and I was thinking it would be resolved to this little text message, and it's not what I wanted to see. My heart sunk. I got offensive. I got all these things just clouding me, and I'm like, I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden, hey, we got a redfish. Hey, we got another one. Hey, we got another one. Look, all right, you put us on the spot. Boy, you know your stuff. I'm sitting there like, I don't know anything. I'm just pulled up to a spot. Yehovah's doing this because it's not my skills right now. I just pulled up to a spot. And they're excited. They're putting fish in the boat. I still got this on my mind. And it's weighing me down on the inside. And I'm like, now I'm like, oh, we got to go to Indiana. I'm weighed down. I'm so weighed down. My mind's going this way. My mind's going that way. I don't know what to say. I want to say this. No, I'm not going to say that. I want to say this. I'm not going to say that. I'm just thinking of things to say. And I'm on the roll. I get back. We unload their fish. We take their picture, and we're high-fiving, and we're talking about them and excited and everything. And I'm excited about your trip for Indiana, this and that. And they're all gone. And now I'm sitting there on the boat. I got to wash my boat. And I'm texting my wife. And she texts me back and she says, hey, I'm not going to Indiana until you resolve this. Then I could tell you, all the blood from out of my body rushed to my toes. It was the end. I'm like, so now I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. And I went and sat on the edge of my boat. I'm like, I run out of juice. I don't know what to think. I don't know how to fix this. I've tried in my mind over and over all day. I don't know how to fix this. So I laid on my bed, my boat, and I just laid there. And I closed my eyes. I said, I know you hear everything and you know everything. I don't know how to fix this. I need your help. If I could just hear you. And I laid there for 30 minutes with my eyes closed. I didn't say anything. I just laid there. And he rewound me back all the way to the spot where I had the billboard pop up. He said, hey, go back there. And it's like, that's all I could see was that verse of scripture. So I ran back to my phone, and I got in my seat of my boat, and I started digging it up in Job's life in the beginning. And I went and looked through all the Hebrew, and I'm just studying it, and I'm listening. He said, now, this is what you need to do. And so I studied it, I looked at it, I got humble, I repented in certain areas, and I made those adjustments. And then I texted what he told me to say, and then I just wept, and I wept, and it felt like a ton of bricks come off of me. I wept, I sent it to my wife, and I sent it to those individuals, and I said to all of those, and mind you, I did not share this with Pastor. I did not share this with the ministers. I did not share this with any other party. I was trained, you don't share that with nobody else but the individuals that you have trouble with. Nobody else. And Yehovah. And that's what I did. I kept it in there. Until to this day, I've kept it there, and I have not told anybody but us individuals. Nobody else knows anything about that but us. And I kept it right there, and it got resolved. But it wasn't 100. It was 80 or 85. That still, I said, you know, I said, I answered what you told me to answer, and I'm relieved. And even my wife said, we can go now. But at the same time, I said, Father, I need to hear a story in relation to what I just went through. And I couldn't think of one. I couldn't think of one. Even on Friday night, I didn't hear anything. And when I got here in Shabbat morning, and he said, roller coaster ride. Imagine that. And then he says, Elijah. And I'm like, that's it. He got to a spot where he was just done. He couldn't go no more. I was at a high, and then I come to a low. I didn't see that coming. I had no idea one word was going to put me down. Just one word from somebody. And Pastor Josh even said that in one Shabbat. I remember saying that clearly. You got to watch the words that you say. They can hurt somebody. The way it's said, maybe it's not the timing yet. And I'm not saying I'm right or I'm wrong. But I'm just saying it come to the realization for me. Many a times I said things that I thought, you know, they've been in the ministry long enough. They know. I'm like, no, you don't know. You could have probably just said something that crushed that person. And you thought it was okay. It was no big deal. And I rewound myself back to times that I said things like, man, there's things that I've said that really hurt people that I didn't know I did. And I repented of those things. So Father, I used spots for you in a low to bring you back, to remind you, hey, you said some things and done some things. And I repented of those things. And so I started my journey. I went back to Elijah. I had to go back. I had to go back and look in the record. And so I went back. And you know what I've learned through the book of Elijah, I'm going to go through some things. The word wisdom is the basics. And so I remember back, a while back, I taught on path, the ancient path. Ways, there was this Orek and this Derek and this Netivah. And it was really simple. The basics of Orek and Derek was like, you got to go to New Orleans, or I'm going to New Orleans. It's the basic. I'm going to New Orleans. That's where I'm going. Or where you going? And then getting into the Netivah is that you get to New Orleans, you go to a such and such place, the city, you go to Bourbon Street, you go to a certain little store, this little gift shop, you run into a person, you talk to this person about Almighty Yah, a testimony. There's a lot of great detail in Netivah, when you get to Netivah. So thinking about it the same way, when you get to wisdom, there's a basics in wisdom. You learn and read about it. In Proverbs, Sholomo. Dawid, they went through the basics. They'll tell you the basics. You learn how to apply wisdom, and then it gets from this wisdom, which is called Kakma. We'll go through those. Kakma, and sound wisdom is Tishia. So the word wisdom is like when we learn about those things. The Netivah is a well-trodden path. So wisdom is the basis of learning Yah's ways, his timings, everything about him, and we learn from wisdom what you do and what you don't do. Okay? Sound wisdom is living it out and giving a testimony how you overcame through something is sound wisdom. Pastor Josh gave his testimony, the sound wisdom of everything that he went through, the course that he had to travel and he went through, making good, bad decisions, and he had to learn from that all the things and humility, all the things he had to learn. That's what sound wisdom is. It's the story telling you of what he went through to get there, the testimony of it. So we have to learn and apply the basics first. Then sound wisdom comes because it's lived out. Remember the roller coaster ride, the ting, 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 and the lows. And that's where you have to truly put what you've learned into action. I would have never been able to finish my destiny and go to Indiana with all that weighing down on my mind. I would have never been able to carry out my destiny sound wisdom and all the things that had to happen through horseback riding, meeting certain Amish people, talking to the boys, playing the games with Pastor Josh and Sister Kathy, all these great details. It was what's much needed. But that would not happen if I stayed there and try and figure it out my own way or do like a Jonah. I ain't putting up with this. I ain't putting up with that. I'm going this way and I'm going to do what I want. And they're going to, you see what I'm saying? You got to stop. And you got to listen to the call. You have to stop. Here in Elijah's life, he's living out his name. And then he has one of those days, allowing his mind, and he's drained, he's going through it. Let's read that a little bit. We're going to start right here, where Pastor kind of mentioned it. And then we'll back up. Chapter 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. And when Ahab reported to Jezebel all that Eliahu, Elijah, had done, also how he slew all the prophets with the sword, Jezebel sent a messenger to Eliahu, saying, "So let the mighty ones do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And he feared and rose up and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Yehuda, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, a juniper tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Jehovah, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Everything he just got finished doing to the altar, doing with all those things that just happened, all of a sudden he's weighted down. He's got Jezebel on his mind. He's got all the things that she can do, all the things that he's going through, all the things that he's got to go and do, and all of a sudden he's weighted down in his mind. In your thoughts, you can get weighed down. But the only way you can stay connected is spirit to spirit, staying aligned. Your flesh and your mind might be stopped, but the spirit's still alive and living. You just got to stop and listen. Nothing's happened to the Father. He's still there. You just can't see past whatever it is that's on your mind who's got you. Whatever's got you. Lies of the enemy, deception, or maybe your mind just weighed down of a lot of stuff that's on you. You just got to stop. And it's proven in the book of Kings with Elijah. This is the spot where Elijah's at, where it ends. In his mind, it ends. This is it. Or it continues in the balance. Everyone will come to this spot, and here's where it is crucial to stop and talk with him. You have to stop and hear his call. 1 Kings 19:5 says, "And he lay and slept under a broom tree, and see, a messenger touched him and said to him, 'Rise and eat.' And he looked and saw by his head a cake bread on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and turned and lay down. And the messenger of Yahweh came back the second time and touched him and said, 'Rise and eat, for the journey is too much for you.' And he rose up and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as his mount." What again? Horeb. What does that remind you of? What's Elijah in his mind thinking of? He's going back. The Mount of Elohim. Now, Horeb is Mount Sinai, where Moshe met with Yehovah. This is where Elijah is going to meet 40 days, 40 nights, mind you, Moshe. 40 days, 40 nights, Elijah, mind you. 40 days, 40 nights. Where did our Messiah get this from? Where did he learn it from? 40 days, 40 nights. Spend the time with Yehovah. I tell you, when I was sitting in that boat, and I listened to his call, and I reverted back to his word, it was like a cake. It gave me strength and empowered me, and I was able to move on. Other than that, I was done, I was stuck, and I was going to make a bad decision. You can't make a decision based on your emotions. You can't make a decision based on what you're thinking. Or even call somebody up on the phone and say, "Guess what so-and-so did?" Wrong answer. You got to stop. And all these years, everything you've learned, and what you learned to the prophets, he stopped. And an angel, a messenger, the voice of Yehovah, the set-apart spirit is right there waiting for you. "Hey, I need help." And he's right there to help you. Why do you call him the helper? "I'll send the helper to you. I must go so the helper can come." What are we listening to? The helper. He's right there waiting. But it's up to us to say, hey, helper, I'm in a bind right now. I don't know what to think. This is all I see is this in front of me. But Jehovah's got this big old destiny that he already sees. But it's up to you. You got to make the choice and decision. You have to make the choice and decision to do the right one. And Elohim always comes to the rescue and is like, it's going to be my way or the highway. This is what we got to do. We got this journey. It's not just about you. It's about this bigger picture of a lot of stuff. Remember, I don't think like you think. I'm not a man. I think about the overall picture. I love Israel. And I was thinking about you before you got here, all the way back with Abraham when you looked up at the stars in the sky. You were in those stars. I was thinking about you and all the ones after you in generations. So it's important to make that right decision. This is probably the most crucial spot every Christian makes is when it comes to that spot. It's almost a do or die spot where they've been hurt and they have to stop and let the helper help you. If you don't, 99.9% of the time, you're going to make the wrong decision and you're going to leave. You can try and figure it out on your own. And when Jonah did it, his mercy and his grace was there in the belly of a fish to let him make a right decision. He still helped him. He let him live. He could have died. He could have let him die. The Father's hand was still upon him in the fish. Father's hand was upon you in that time. Father's hand was upon me many times that I've done wrong. He was there to bring us back around. It's not over. It's not over, Pastor. It's not over. It's not over. You can continue. You can get through this. There's nothing that you can't get through the Messiah hasn't been through that you can ask him. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. And there he went into a cave. And he spent the night there. And see, the word of Yahweh came to him and he said to him, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? What are you doing here? Yahweh knows what he's doing there. He knows about him. He's asking him the question to think about himself. He asked you the question. He asked me the question. Chad, what are you doing here? I don't know. I can't see past something right now. What are you doing here? I need help. I can help you, but you got to do what I'm telling you. I know pride and all these other things try and want to rule you, but you got to rule over it. You got to learn to rule over it. It tries to rule you, Cain, but you got to learn to rule over it. You can. I'm not going to do it for you. You got to do it. You got to be empowered. You got to do it like Sarah did. She empowered herself to do it. She had to. And he said, I've been very jealous for Jehovah. You think Yehovah doesn't know all this? Everything he's going to present to him is case. He knows it already. But Yehovah wants him to present it to him. He wants him to tell him. He wants him to tell. He wanted me to tell him. I'm at my wit's end. Good. I want you to talk to me. Talk to me. I want to hear you, boy. Talk to me. And he said, I have been very jealous for Yehovah, Elohim of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. I know that. They've thrown down your slaughter places. I know that. And they've killed your prophets with the sword. I know that. And I am left, I alone, and they seek my life to take it. You think all this? And he said, go out and stand on the mountain before Yehovah and see. Yehovah passed by, and a great and strong wind tearing the mountains. Can you be Elijah right now in his shoes? And all of a sudden, the mountain is rent. This is a power of source that's unlike anything any human could ever do. Just rinse the mountain. And he wasn't even in the mountains. It was just something that he spoke to do. And then it says, a strong wind tearing the mountains and breaking the mountains in pieces before Yehovah. Yehovah was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Yehovah was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. And Yehovah was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small coal, a voice. That word, coal. And it came to be when Eliyahu heard it, that he wrapped his face in his robe. He went out and stood at the cave opening. And see, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? What are you doing here? And he said, I've been very jealous. And he repeated the same thing again. And Yehovah said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And you shall go in. This is the things that you got to finish in your destiny. Here's what you're going to do. You got to anoint Hazael as sovereign over Aram. and anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as sovereign over Israel. You have to anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel, Melahah, as prophet in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu does kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha does kill. And I shall leave 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Destiny fulfilled by listening to Yah's call. And when you get there, you have to stop and listen. And this is the place, what I talked about, when most Christians veer in the wrong direction. So now, let's go back a little bit prior to this, what's happening, what was going on right before that. In my life was, look at Job, look at him, look at me. I'm in the top 10 right now fishing, and I got more than enough to go to Indiana and fulfill God's destiny and plan in my life. And all of a sudden, a big billboard gets hit right between the eyes. And I can't see right from left, up or down. I felt like I was in the muddy water, not being able to see up from down. And look what he does when you listen. You got to stop. You have to stop. And then, pastor had no idea. He's up here talking about the roller coaster ride. Boom. Answered. Then he talks about Elijah. Boom. Answered. I asked those questions. I had asked him those questions. I need something to relate to. And he hears you. And he'll answer you. Eliyahu, when we back up to the beginning, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, Eliyahu has a name. And we're in Shemot. And he's got to live up to his name. Eliyahu lives up to his name in a time where Israel is serving the other gods and the Baals because of the leadership's oppression, remind you. If you go back and read all those stories leading up to Ahab, Ahab wasn't even a part of them. You got to back way, way back up when David, one of his sons, was king of Israel, and then all of a sudden that went down, and one of these other guys comes in there that's one of the leaders in the army or the military. He gets voted in, and he comes in, and then another one comes in. That's how Ahab got in, and all this leadership, and then into the Baals, all because of back when, they all let it down. And so they had to go through those things, and here we are again, and they got an Elisha. They got somebody standing there, and he's going to live up to his name. And he's going to go through roller coaster rides. And it tells on the record, we're going to go through roller coaster rides. And we've got to know what to do when it happens. They have oppression. We're going through that right now with Pharaoh. And oppression on Israel. Their mind led them here because of their rebellion. Eliyahu bears his name alongside of Yah. When the odds were against them, the minority with another victorious outcome bearing the name, my Elohim is Jehovah. Strong's H452, Eliyahu, Elijah or Eliyah, my God is Jehovah, or Yah is my God. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, Eliyahu the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as Jehovah Elohim of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew or rain these years except at my word. Now, when he's given this word to Ahab, mind you, that there's not going to be no rain, he's also talking about, he's in the middle of it too. There's not going to be any rain, and there's a famine that's going to come. He's included. When he speaks this, he's included. It says, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew or rain these years except at my word. And the word of Jehovah came to him saying, go away from here, turn eastward. Now he's going to listen to Jehovah where he's going to go. He's going to go to his Goshen. He's going down to where Jehovah knows there's some ravens, mind you. When I read the story years ago, because I didn't read it for myself, I was taught there was a raven that came down and fed him. But when you read it, it says there was a bunch of ravens. Ravens in the plural. He's being fed by a bunch of ravens when you read it. He's going down to his Goshen in the middle of no rain, a famine's coming, and Ahab gets mad because this prophet comes and speaks. He's not thinking about Almighty. Yeah, he's thinking about this. This prophet's fault because of what he spoke. There's no rain. And we in a famine now. And he's angry at this prophet. You see why the prophet gets all the burn? It's not my doings. It's what he said. He told us to bring the Torah into play. Not me. I didn't say it. You can get mad at me all you want. But this is what he's telling us to do. And so people get mad. You can get mad all you want. Yah is in control. And you got to trust he took care of Elijah and he's going to take care of us through everything. And he did. It says, it shall be that you drink. It says, go away from here, go eastward. Tell him to go a certain direction. And go by the Wadi Kerith, which flows into the Yardin. It's a stream that's flowing. It was a quiet place. It was secluded from everybody. When you read the story, he's by himself. He has nobody else with him but the voice to the call to listen to at this time. And he's down by the Wadi. He's got the stream. And it says, and it shall be. He's telling him. He's telling them that, and it shall be that you drink from the stream, and I shall command the ravens to feed you there. They're going to come, and they're going to feed you, and they're going to take care of you. And I shall command the ravens to feed you there. And he went and did according to the word of Yehovah, for he went and dwelt by the Wadi Kerith, which flows into the Yardin. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the stream. And it came to be after a while that the stream dried up. What's the roller coaster ride? Now the stream's drying up. Who's he got to trust in? Who's he got to rely on? And mind you, all this happens leading up to where he gets told the thing from Jezebel, and he goes by the tree, and he's back to that spot. We all go through it. Even the best of the best. You're going to go through it. He went through it. After witnessing, experiencing all of this. And it came to be after a while that the stream dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now Yehovah knows the next steps that have to be made. And it's not just for Elijah's life. There's a widow lady that's going to be involved. And she's on her last meal with her son. And he's got to go tell her this. Now put yourself in his shoes. He's got to go tell this lady to feed him the last meal that's for her and her son. Can you put yourself in those shoes? But you got to do what he says. It's crazy. It's crazy thinking to go do these things. And it says, and the word of Yehovah came to say, rise up, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to sustain you. And he rose up and went to Zarephath and came to the gate of the city and saw a widow there gathering sticks. He called and said to her, please bring me a little water and a vessel to drink. And as she was going to get it, he called and said to her, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. And she said, as Yehovah your Elohim lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And I see I am gathering a couple of sticks and shall go in and prepare it for myself and my son, and we shall eat it and die. This is it. We're at our end right now. We're at the end. This is it. And Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as I said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make sure for yourself and your son. Make some for yourself and your son. For thus says Yehovah Elohim of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor the jar of oil run dry, until the day Yehovah sends rain on the earth. Now he's keeping that in mind. He's reminded of the rain. There's a day that he's going to go say that the rain's going to come back. Because it's not until the word of Yahweh tells him so. As many times we want to say and do things out of time when he says it's not time yet. It could be weeks. It could be months. Can you imagine how our pastor held on for months, then years, and stuff that he still holds that wasn't the time to give to the time he said? It's important to listen to the voice, to the call of Yahweh. And we learn this from the record. So she went and did according to the word of Eliyahu. She and he and her household ate. It says her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of Yehovah, which he spoke to Eliyahu. And if we can remember what our Messiah, when he talked to the disciples and the little boy's meal, and it didn't run out, the baskets was overflowing. And I can tell you, for this trip to Indiana, we only had a small portion of fish, and we get up there, and again, with less people to provide for fish, the fish was more than enough overflowing for over 150. How does he do that? You just got to listen. You just got to do what he says. Don't panic. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. No need to worry. I can almost sing that right now. It just gets you excited. All the things that he does. And after these events, it came to be that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. His sickness was very severe until there was no breath left in him. And she said to Eliyahu, "What have I to do with you, O man of Elohim? Have you come to me to bring my crookedness to be remembered and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him from her arms, took him to the upper room where he was dwelling, and laid him on his bed. And he cried out to Jehovah and said, "O Jehovah my Elohim, have you also brought evil on the widow with whom I am sojourning to kill her son?" He wants him to come there and rely on him and say, "Hey, I got this problem." Jehovah already knew it was going to come about. He told him everything was going to happen before he got there. But sometimes we can kind of lose track of things and only see what's in front of us and not see the bigger picture. But he does. Remember, he's not a man. He's a spirit. Got to keep that in mind. He's bigger than what we can think. And cried out to Yahweh and said, "O Yehovah, have you also brought evil on the widow which I am sojourning to kill her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to Yehovah and said, "O Yehovah my Elohim, I pray, let the life of this child come back to him." And Yehovah heard the voice of Eliyahu, and the life of the child came back to him, and he lived. So it was not seven times, as I said. I got that mixed up with another story. It says he laid himself out on a child three times. And Eliyahu took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Eliyahu said, "See, your son lives." And this is how important it is to let your destiny continue on, because there's a life of somebody else. Because she said from the beginning of this that me and my son eat our last meal and die. It must need be that Eliyahu shows up, or this lady and her generations die, because she's got a son. Isn't it a Hebrew boy important for a lineage to continue on? This is a son. And she says, the woman said to Eliyahu, "Now by this I know that you are a man of Elohim, that the word of Yehovah in your mouth is truth." She wasn't completely set with the jars. She wasn't completely set with the meals. There was one more little spot. That boy was more important to her than anything. And she was going to lose that boy. And it focused her attention on, guess who's taking care of your boy today? Yehovah just took care of your boy. And I'm pretty sure that if you try and think about the rest of the story, that she put her full reliance on Yehovah from this point forward with her son and after everything that happened in her life. That was a miracle. That was incredible. And from this is where Yeshua learned wisdom, and he turned it in to sound wisdom, and he lived it out. And both went through the lows afterward. This is where you see Messiah through it in the Torah and the prophets. And I just had some little notes I left there. And now from this point on, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, we probably don't have time to read it, but you can go read the whole story for yourself from chapter 1 all the way through verse 46. Because it was pretty powerful what he did. Everything that he confronted Ahab and all the things that he did and all the sacrifice and all the things that he did leading up to where Pastor mentioned on that Shabbat morning about Elijah, he's in a down spot. All this you read about happens. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, I don't know how much time I got left. I have to continue this on at another time. But this is where I, for God's reason, I came across sound wisdom in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. It says, "The separatist seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound wisdom." When you want to separate yourself and try on your own desire, go ahead. You will break out against all of Yah's sound wisdom or a sound mind. Your sound mind will be completely gone and you'll never get it back. It says that in the verse, the separatist seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound wisdom. Yah's got the sound wisdom. You don't. Pharaoh didn't know Yosef, if you think about it. Exodus 1:8, that verse of scripture. A new sovereign had arose over Mishraim who didn't know Yosef. John chapter 1, verse 10 tells us he was in the world. The world came to be through him, and the world did not know him. He came to know his own, and his own did not receive him. Remember, Proverbs 18:1, the separatist seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound wisdom. Pharaoh was seeking his own desire. Sound wisdom is the feminine side of wisdom. It's the example of an already worked wisdom in great detail. It's the netivah of the ancient path, and we talked about that. Tashiah is sound wisdom. We see sound wisdom portrayed when we read about Yosef, when we read about Moshe, when we read about Elijah, when we read these stories. You see sound wisdom, the Tashiah, in action. Yosef's obedience through every trial using Yah's wisdom and instruction detailed the dreams coming into fruition and saving his brothers and Egypt. There's a bigger picture. The sound wisdom, there's a bigger picture. Moshe's obedience through every trial using Yah's wisdom, his instruction, all came to pass as Jehovah had said, saving not only Israel, but a mixed multitude. A mixed multitude. Elijah facing evil leadership in Baals over Israel, Ahab, and Jezebel, listening and to following the wisdom and instruction of Yehovah, wiped out the Baals, separated Israel from the Baals back to Yehovah, and wiped out Jezebel. If you finish reading the story, Jezebel gets called out, and she gets pushed out the window, just like it was foretold. And all that gets knocked out. And Yehovah loves Israel, and he keeps his covenant. It's been given to us today. Now I'll try and go over. Wisdom is Strong's H2451. It's Chokmah. Chokmah is skill. It's wisdom. This is the most common word for wisdom used 149 times. It's skill. He says, get wisdom. In Proverbs 4:5, he says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words. These are the words of wisdom from Sholem, or we can get it out of Proverbs, and the words of David through Psalms. There's a bunch of other words that I'm not going to get into that come through wisdom, but the main one I focused on was Tashiah in Strong's H8454. It's sound wisdom, it's efficient wisdom, it's abiding success. It's used heavily in the book of Job, and it's used in Proverbs, and it points to working wisdom. Practical resource that leads to lasting results and sound counsel. A good reference is Proverbs 8:14. Counsel and sound wisdom, Tashiah, are mine. I have insight. I have power. Tashiah is Strong's H8454. I just said that. From an unused root, probably meaning to substantiate or to support. It's an ability. It's a purpose. It's sound wisdom is working. It's working. Remember, I always talk about don't be a hearer only, but a doer. It's working. Sound wisdom is working. Yehovah shows us through the lives of so many of it working in action. This is what you do, and this is what you don't do. Jonah was an example. This is what you don't do, but if you do it, I still got something for you to help you get it back on the road. This is what happened to Dawid. He took his eyes off of Yah and looked at a woman, and it brought him down that path. The destructive path brought his sons and everything that happened, you know, all the cause and effect. But he got back in repentance and got it on the road. And he kept it on the road. That's sound wisdom. He's teaching us the sound wisdom. The word Tashiah is efficient wisdom or abiding success. The general Hebrew word for wisdom, Tashiah, specifically refers to practically a working understanding. Because he says, and get all you get and get understanding. You got to understand that yields tangible, lasting results that helps navigate complex situations. And he'll help you through complex situations. Abiding success, it points to the ultimate effect of true wisdom. is not just theoretical knowledge, but wisdom that works and produces steady, reliable outcomes. The substance and reality, the root of the word, relates to substantiating or supporting. It represents the way things actually are, as opposed to fleeting theories or empty schemes. It denotes hand-on ability, sound counsel, and strategic planning. It really helps you move forward because, like in a business, you don't move forward in a business by just handing out business cards. My time's up, but you don't just get a business by handing out business cards. You learn through the highs and the lows, and once you see it producing and working, that becomes sound wisdom. And then it helps you go from one to a greater. If he took me out of this business where I'm at today and put me in a business with big, big, multiple, huge, I look at AJ, and I look at his life growing up, how he can take care of so many businesses. And there's times that he come to a little rut, but learn to work through it. It would literally drain you and bring you down because of the stuff that you would have to try and work through. You'd probably get aggravated and frustrated and go off on people, want to run everybody off, and your business would fold. That's why most businesses fold, because you didn't start from scratch and learn it from the bottom up. You can't start over here without going through this process of learning first. It has to be applied. You can't just believe that, hey, I'm born again and I just made it. That's a crazy saying. You have to learn these things just like a Messiah did. He learned the things through his father. And we're going to end this right here. So the bigger picture, the kind of wisdom describes a life lived in alignment with God's design. It acts as a defense against folly, giving you the mental aptitude, practical ability, and divine insight to successfully navigate life's challenges with integrity. That's sound wisdom. And you get there by applying wisdom. Just like the Derech and the Orech to the Netivah. I tell you what, when I was a kid growing up, I went to Delta Heritage, and we went on a field trip to New Orleans to the park. And when we was at that park, I had never been there before. I went with all my friends. I was a little bitty kid. And we in there, and I remember, I can still remember to this day, we're sitting in New Orleans, and they got all these pigeons flying around. But I'd never seen that before. That's the detail. I was told about New Orleans, but it wasn't what I pictured until I got there in the French Quarter, and they got all these birds, these pigeons, and I'm feeding the pigeons. And I ended on this little story. I saw the pigeon in my feet and had an opportunity to catch him, and I wasn't thinking. I grabbed him and said, I got him. And I was like, oh! And the teacher's like, why you did that? And I'm like, I had to let a bird go, and it flew away. But I was like, I was down the rest of the day because I grabbed the bird. Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that to that poor bird? I never forget that story. It just reminded me of New Orleans. But there's details, mind you, Netivah, that happens when you go there. There's details in his word when you allow him to use you for whatever he's using you for. There's details that's going to be applied, and you're going to have a great time. Sometimes you might not understand it, but he's got the bigger picture, and it's going to be incredible. Amen. Just going to Indiana was incredible this time. Well, I love everybody. That's the end of this teaching and learning and Shabbat. But Shabbat continues on till the morning. Can't wait to hear what the Father's got through our pastor in the morning. Whoever's speaking, I think he's speaking tomorrow. And I think, I know we're going to have a good night's rest. And when we sleep, it's like you die. But you know, you're looking forward to him waking you up in the morning, and you're going to give him thanks that he allowed you to have your heartbeat, your breath, and be able to come into his house again and honor him and learn from him. Amen. Father, just thank